God is good, isn't he? All the time, God is good. That's right. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 5, and I'll slip up one verse into chapter 4, but we're so pleased and happy to be with you today. And boy, I'm telling you, if you knew him like we knew him, you'd feel that resurrection deep inside. Yes, ma'am. If you'll stand with me just for a moment, I'm going to read only a few verses of Scripture, actually beginning with verse 37 in Daniel chapter 4. It says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth." Did you get that? The King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. But notice this last part. "And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." So we got to be careful about that. "Nebuchadnezzar," or Belshazzar, excuse me, "the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father," actually his grandfather, "Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God." You know, we just talked about being in the house of God. It is a sacred place. This place has been set aside for the worship of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he took those precious things out of the place where God Almighty is worshiped, and now he's going to mock them and make fun of those things. And it says, "And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them." They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone, all those things which our God has made and created. "In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another." I just want to stop there right now, because I'm telling you, I don't want to have an experience like that. Amen. Okay? I don't want to be in a position of doing some things that would dishonor my God, that would mock him or make fun of him. And in my life, the writing would be appearing on the wall, judgment against me. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of judgment against individuals. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of judgment against America. And one of the reasons is what your pastor talked about just for a moment. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you just a few moments on troubling thoughts. Do you ever have troubling thoughts? You think of some things that bother you and disturb you. I do. I had a couple just recently, yesterday, today. One of them was, I introduced your pastor as Andre Crouch. Kind of missing the little tone that he needs for that category. It was a quick introduction. I was with a pastor in Soderdale, not too far, well, down in the southern part of Ohio, and He just happened to ask me, I don't know why, I didn't expect it, ask us where we were going to be, what we were going to be doing. This was just this past Wednesday night, I believe, or Tuesday night. And he said, "Well, where are you going to be Sunday morning?" And so I said I was going to be here. And I said, "And the pastor is Andre Crouch." I knew that didn't sound right, you know. And I said, no, it's Eugene. Well, that word got into Columbus, and I think Brother Tim had mentioned something to him about it. The other troubling thought I had was a while ago during Sunday school and church break before we came back in here. I started into the men's restroom, and I guess I'm thinking on some other things, and I see a baby changer. And I froze just like that for a minute. I thought, am I going into the women's or am I going into the men's? Fortunately, there was nobody around, so I stepped back and looked. And I said, thank God it said men on it. And I thought, do you ever have troubling thoughts? I had a couple real quick, all right? Most people have troubling thoughts for sure. And just as Belshazzar had some troubling thoughts. But you know, unfortunate for most people, the troubling thoughts come when it's too late. And that's the way it was with Belshazzar. There's some things that we ought to think about. There ought to be some things that will trouble us in this world. And especially as we sit in a place like this where we worship our God and where we open the Word of God, there ought to be some things that trouble us, that shake us. And yet in America, it just seems like we blow so many things off that, well, that's just them, or that's just this, or that's just that. And we just kind of blow it off. There ought to be some things that trouble us. And I believe true Bible believers are being troubled by some things that are happening. I think one thing that ought to trouble us is what I call the sacred things of God. We certainly see, this is just an illustration that we have read. There's far more to it. The whole chapter gets into this whole situation about Belshazzar. But there was some things that troubled him, but unfortunately, it was too late. I'm telling you, we ought to be troubled about some things, and I don't know if it's too late for America. I don't know if it's too late for you in your life. I'm glad for the song our young men sing, that whosoever will may come. It is true. As long as we're alive, there is hope. I have met some people who said, there's no hope for me. I've done too much. I've gone too far. I've done too many things that were just spitting in the face of God. If you're alive, it's not too late. It's not too late. But some things ought to trouble you. The sacred things of God. I think about marriage that we talked about this morning. While I'm sitting there and the pastor's speaking about the gay pride thing this morning, there's nothing to be proud of and it's not gay. I can tell you both of those are true. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. Still love the folks, and I know they say that's just not good enough, but it is good enough. Jesus loves us in spite of our sins. He hates our sins. Matter of fact, the Old Testament says He is angry with us every day because of our sins. But thank God there is pardon. Thank God that Jesus came and died for us. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Homosexuality, lesbianism, all the rest of it is no greater sin than adultery and murder and all that. God can forgive those just as well. But it ought to trouble us that marriage is in deep trouble. And when marriage is in trouble, the home is in trouble. And when the home is in trouble, our children are in trouble. We ought to be troubled by those things. We ought to be troubled by the fact that there are some, we may be troubled personally because of financial situations, because of family situations, because of maybe church situations, or maybe it's our health. Maybe we got some troubling news about our health. Well, I want to tell you something. None of those are worse than having soul trouble. I mean, all of those are things we have to endure in this life, and they don't make us happy, they don't make us comfortable. But I want to tell you, Jesus came to deliver the soul. Young men didn't sing The Lighthouse, but what a great song that is, The Lighthouse, where the Lord Jesus Christ is our lighthouse. And in troubled waters, I think about where we live in North Carolina. My wife and I live farther over than Raleigh, about an hour farther towards the coast. And there's the graveyard of the Atlantic out there where many ships went to the bottom of the ocean because it is rocky. And they've got, you know, North Carolina coast is littered with lighthouses because it is so rocky in those areas that guide ships in. Well, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ is the lighthouse. He guides us safely into the harbor. He takes us into a place where we will be safe, and He'll take us into a place where we can have contentment that our brother preached on this morning. In Christ Jesus, the Godhead is completely fulfilled. But there ought to be some things that trouble us. You notice in verse 2 here that Belshazzar made this commandment to take the precious things out of God's house and to drink and to worship the gods of gold and silver. I'm telling you, there are many people in many Free Will Baptist churches that trouble me because they make less of the Word of God, watering it down, the precious things of God. And they just don't take it serious anymore. But I'm telling you, it's just as serious as the day God delivered it to us. Amen. the precious word in our Lord Jesus Christ. But then also, the sure wages of sin ought to trouble us. You notice in verse 5 it says, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. I used to think that there was just a hand. Well, he just saw the part of the hand. This was our God Almighty that came in human form and began to write. And the only thing Belshazzar saw was the hand itself. That would be disturbing. Yes. Amen? Yes. That would be disturbing. Matter of fact, it was so disturbing to him in verse 6 that it said his countenance was changed. Now remember that they're laughing and they're enjoying themselves and they're just playing and they're having a big time and they're drinking their drinks and they're partying. But his countenance changed. The Bible says not only did his countenance change, his thoughts troubled him. What in the world? I think he already knew he had gone too far. I think he already knew that he had stepped beyond a place that he shouldn't be stepping. And so his thoughts troubled him about this hand that was writing and the writing. Another thing that troubled him was that the wise men couldn't tell him what was written there. Well, I want to tell you, the wise man is the man behind your pulpit that preaches the Word of God service after service. And you need to listen to him as he preaches the Word of God. It will tell you God's thoughts. It will tell you what the future holds for you. Is that because preachers are future seers? No, it's because they are men who know the God who knows the future and has delivered it to us. And we can deliver it to the people and the message that needs to be followed. His thoughts troubled him. Look at this. It's not just a matter of his thoughts troubling him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. Have you ever had that kind of experience? I tell you, there's probably one or two times in my life, maybe one or two times in your life, where you got scared enough that your knees almost buckled. That's what he's doing right here. And I'm telling you, if there is a time they ought to begin to shake and buckle, it's when thus saith the Lord comes against me and comes against you personally. And as we look, we see come against America as well. The sure wages of sin. The Bible said, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. The Scripture says the wages of sin is death. And that's not talking about physical death. Certainly if we continue in our sin, sin is what kills us ultimately. But he's talking about our soul. He's talking about eternal life. Said, preacher, how do you know that? Because the rest of the verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's in comparison. Eternal death with eternal life. The wages of sin is eternal death in hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The joints of his loins were loosed and his knees began to smote one against another. He was scared to death and then he began to call for the holy men. Then he called for the holy men. Don't wait until the writing comes up against you before you call for the holy man of God. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the preaching. Listen to the word and be obedient. Because our Lord, yes. I read verse 37 here for a reason in chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar had been through this. He had already thought he was the greatest man in all the earth. He was responsible for having built one of the seven wonders of the world. He had an expanded kingdom larger than most anybody. But God humbled him to where he became a beast of the field and the dew went on his body. You read about it earlier, how that his nails grew like the claws of an eagle and how he could not be tamed and he ran off into the wild. And then finally God began to speak to his heart and said, you're here because I put you here. And then you'll notice that Nebuchadnezzar says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those, I think it's interesting that he pops this on here. And those that walk in pride, he's able to bring them down. Abase them is what the Scripture says. Oh yeah. You can walk with your nose up and your chest stuck out, and you can shake your finger in the face of God, but He knows. Nebuchadnezzar, who experienced it all, had more than you will ever dream about. More power, more prestige, more influence than any man that ever lived on the face of the earth besides Solomon. And he says that this King of Heaven knows how to abase them that are proud. Our Bible tells us over and over again that God resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. Who are the humble? It's those whose thoughts trouble them. What will I do when I stand in the presence of God? The sacred things of God ought to trouble your thoughts. They are still sacred to God. I don't care how many spit in the face of God these days. They are still sacred to God. And the sure wages of sin are still before us. We are going to have to give an account. The saved and the lost alike are going to have to give an account of everything they've done on the face of this earth. Then another thing that ought to trouble us is the scales of God. If you'll notice, and I didn't go over and read all this, but in verse 27, as he saw this writing, this was the writing beginning in verse 25, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation Daniel's telling him now, the real holy man of God. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom. It's done. It's finished. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. That's every one of us. Thy kingdom, Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and to the Persians. The scales of God ought to trouble all of us. Now that ought to mean something to us. The more and more people you talk to and you confront them with their condition of their soul, how do you think a person gets to heaven? One of our statements is, what does a person have to do to go to heaven? What is 9 out of 10 people going to say? Well, I think they're going to have to live good works. Whatever it comes out, the majority are going to be good works. And I believe that, do you believe you're going to go to heaven? Yeah. Why? Well, I think my good works probably outweigh my bad. Well, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that's far from the truth. Far from the truth. Because you see, God just doesn't weigh out the works that you can see, that other people can see. He weighs out the works that goes up in here too. That's why Jesus said, you have said, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say to you, if you look on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery. And then he goes on with several of these ideas that it's not about the commandments, it's about the heart. What goes on in the heart, murderers, envyings, and strife, God sees every bit of that. Every bit of it. How in the world can my good ever outweigh my bad? Oh, maybe in the eyes of somebody else, my good may outweigh the bad. But God doesn't look on the outward appearance, He looks on the inward appearance.
Amen.
Then he scales it. And it ought to trouble us about the scales of God, the weights. You really think that your good works are going to outweigh your bad over a lifetime? You are really self-deceived if you think that's going to be the case. God, who sees everything, knows your motives, know what you're going to do before you ever do it, and He begins to weigh all that out. And according to Belshazzar, as the writer, the man of God said, thou art weighed in the balances, God's balances, not man's balances, in God's balances, and you are found. That ought to trouble us. That ought to trouble us. And then last, the stroke of God ought to trouble us. Think about the stroke of God. Look at verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all of this. He goes through the history of Nebuchadnezzar. Why Nebuchadnezzar said that he knows how to take the prideful and abase them. Well, Daniel goes through what happened to him prior to that. And he says in verse 23, but hast lifted thyself against the Lord of heaven. You've done all of these things. Let's go down to the bottom of that verse. And the God, oh, I love this. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? So what happens? Verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. The stroke of God. I've seen the stroke of God on. Thank God it wasn't me. I mean, every one of us deserved the stroke of God. It's only by His grace that I'm still here. But I have seen the stroke of God like against Belshazzar in my years of ministry. My wife and I this past May have been married 40 years, been in ministry 40 years. We've seen a lot of wonderful things in ministry, but we've seen a lot of sad things. And one of them is the stroke of God. When God says, I've had enough. I've had enough. He says that not only about nations, but He says that about individuals. Belshazzar is one of them. That's why the illustration's here for us. If you do not humble your heart before God, He knows how to make you abase. And if you won't do it here and you suffer the stroke of God, one day the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue, without exception, every knee, every tongue. And you know, my friend, I'd rather do that here. I'd rather kneel to the Lamb of God who says, whosoever will may come. Come humbly before Him. And the humble part simply means, you're right, I'm wrong. You're right, I'm a sinner. I'm filthy, I'm dirty. All of my righteousness are as filthy rags. You're right, I'm wrong. You're the Holy One. But yet You extend Your mercy to me. Your precious Son allowed His blood to be shed to cover my sins. I accept that payment for my sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do your thoughts ever trouble you? Maybe the Lord has troubled you this morning. Maybe you come in so-so and all that, you know, but maybe, and He's the only one that can do that. Trouble your thoughts. I can't do that. I can preach till I'm blue in the face and never touch you, never get to you. But see, the Bible says of itself, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets right down in your heart to who you are. It resonates in your soul, and it may never show in your face, and it may never show in your body. But the hand of God writes on your heart and on my heart, weighed in the balances and found wanting. But the good part is, the stroke of God hasn't happened yet, because all of us are going to die. It is appointed unto men once to die. All of us are going to suffer the stroke of God sometime, somewhere, someplace. But some die young. Some die early. Yeah. Belshazzar, I believe, died early because of the stroke of God. He didn't take serious the things of God. He made fun of the things of God. He doubted in his heart and in his spirit. But then once God's hand began to write, then his thoughts began to trouble him. Too late then. Not too late for you. Today is an opportunity to come to Him and humble yourself and say, Lord, would You receive me? And I can guarantee you this, He will. Let's stand and bow our heads just for a few moments.